Since March 2009, the Pharmacy Podcast has been developing content monthly, weekly, and daily for the business of pharmacy. With more than 25 different podcast channels, more than 1 million downloads, and 30-plus participating pharmacists, the Pharmacy Podcast Network is the global leader in podcasting for the pharmacy professional. Find all of our podcast channels by going to pharmacypodcast.com/shows.
We're lucky to have RX Destroyer sponsoring the Pharmacy Podcast Network. RX Destroyer ready-to-use chemical drug disposal systems are safe, easy, and affordable products which meet the 2014 DEA drug disposal ruling. If you'd like more information on products, training, and medication waste compliance, check out www.rxdestroyer.com/pharmacypodcastnetwork.
Hi, my name is Frank Brevi, PharmD. I'm a clinical pharmacist consultant, and you're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, Pharmacy Podcast Network. This is Todd Urey, founder of the Pharmacy Podcast. I'm excited that I can bring to the Pharmacy Podcast information that pharmacists can use. If you're driving to work right now, working out, taking a walk, listening to this show, we also want your feedback of other topics that we might not have covered or haven't covered in a while. We've been around for 10 years now in 2019. This is our 10th year anniversary, over 850 episodes. So we might have to refresh some information. So if you're thinking of things that you'd like us to discuss, please send us a message. Publisher at Pharmacy Podcast. That is a great way to send us your ideas. Today is about medication disposal. Think about this, pharmacist. You guys dispense hundreds, thousands, millions of prescriptions per day. What's the best way to dispose of most types of medication, unused, unwanted, expired medications? The FDA has their way of doing it. The pharmacists and Take Back Drugs Day have their way of doing it. Sometimes, as you know, being not only pharmacists, but being parents, being married, being in a relationship, being in a situation, maybe you're sharing a home with someone else, how fast life goes, how busy you are. We have to be thinking of what the patient, what our consumers think and what they're going through to make things as easy as possible. We're going to be building a series of podcasts today, sponsored by RX Destroyer, which you can find more information at rxdestroyer.com, about proper disposal and what's available for our patients and consumers today. I'm excited to welcome Dr. Frank Brevi. He's a PharmD. He's also a clinical pharmacist consultant to the podcast. Welcome, Frank, to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Greetings, everybody.
So, Frank, I want, before we get into some questions that I have about this subject, I want to ask just for you to share your background with our listeners.
Sure. I'm a clinical pharmacist who's been practicing many years in hospital pharmacy, teaching hospitals, and about 12, 15 years ago, I decided to pursue an alternative career path involving consulting. And this entailed utilizing my hospital skills, what I've learned over the years, and applying this to a consulting business. And I was very successful at this, and I worked in a lot of different areas within pharmacy that required an independent consultant to do chart reviews. I'm sure most people are familiar with the term consultant pharmacist, responsible for reviewing charts in nursing homes and also in ambulatory care centers, dialysis centers, surgical centers. All these areas require a pharmacist. There are regulations that spell this out. And being a pharmacist from New Jersey, there were many opportunities for me because we have a law here which requires separation of the provider pharmacist from the consultant pharmacist. They have to be independent. And so there's a lot of opportunities for independent pharmacists to do consulting work. Now, in the course of doing this, my practice evolved when I was given an opportunity about 10 years ago to work with a hospital that was having issues with the DEA. There was some theft of narcotics from this big hospital system, and they were fined, and there were a lot of problems, and the Department of Justice, who issued the fine, mandated that they needed an independent consultant pharmacist to work on the plan of correction that they had installed, which was 3 years. And basically, this involved an independent pharmacist doing auditing of the all areas of the hospital that were cited to ensure that they were complying with the remediation that they came up with. So that's what I did. And I would do reports every 3 months. I would look through all aspects of controlled substance use, chain of custody from procurement to waste, basically. And I would write these reports. I would do observational assessments. I would review policies and procedures. I would make recommendations for improvement. And this seemed to work out pretty well because the DEA really liked the reports. And I was offered other positions based on this initial engagement to work within the Department of Justice as a consultant for them. And also word of mouth got around where I was getting calls from other hospitals who were having problems. And so I was working as a consultant for those hospitals. So my practice now, a big part of it involves drug diversion risk reduction. So I am a clinical pharmacist consultant. I work in a lot of different areas in pharmacy, but my main area as a parent is working in the drug diversion space.
I think of the sectors of pharmacy, and I think of community as really the largest from a public's perception. We have health system pharmacists, compounding, specialty, even the research side. When I think of the community, which is that exposure where the majority of pharmacist to patient interaction is happening, the accidental exposure to medicine in the home, it's a major source of unintentional poisonings of young children. And in the United States, each year there's like 60,000 emergency department visits, 450,000, which is almost 500,000 calls to poison centers, are made to 911 for these children that are 6 years of age and under who have ingested medications because they got into something at the home. And what I'm trying to help figure out for the pharmacists listening is, how do we put policies, procedures, information, and education in place so that it doesn't disrupt the workflow of these pharmacies who are under a lot of pressure to get medications out and safely out to the patient, but the education there and really helping our consumers understand the severity and the seriousness of it and kind of meshing that with the technologies and the design of what Rx Destroyer delivers. Like what can you say to a pharmacist that's listening today, Frank, to really help them simplify some of this?
Well, the scenario that you're painting here regarding medications in the home, when someone picks up prescriptions, there are studies out there that indicate with respect to controlled substances, you want to focus on that.
Right.
That only 17% of the actual prescription is used, and the rest goes in the medicine cabinet. And it just sits there. Who has access to that medicine cabinet? Children at home, teenagers might want to abuse it. things are left around the house, like you mentioned, kids can get a hold of it. My wife happens to be a pediatric nurse practitioner that works for a school system in southern New Jersey. And she told me that she's seen several instances where kids in their lunch bag have brought in pills of from their parents' prescription bottles in with their lunch bag.
Oh my goodness.
And they treat it like toys or candy, or, you know, it's really ridiculous. And I'm sure you're aware of some of the news items where there's deaths have occurred. There were some well-documented instances where babies have walked on a discarded fentanyl patch, and the absorption from the fentanyl killed them, basically, because they absorbed a very potent opiate and they're very young. And, you know, these patches contain active drug even after they're tossed. And so this is a really big problem. So what is the answer? Well, I think the biggest thing is education. Education from multiple areas. The community pharmacist is in an ideal situation where not only can he discuss the medication's side effects and the importance of taking it properly, but also the importance of ensuring that it's disposed of correctly, that it's not lying around the house where people can access it, children, young children. It is a very big problem. So I think there has to be a concerted effort to figure out a way of disseminating this information to the customers.
I always wondered with the inserts, we give patients when they take their medication inserts, pamphlets. Sometimes you wonder if they even read some of the information. However, you always think of maybe additional education that could be given to them in that way, just to flag that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you can have like an addendum at the end of that leaflet that the patient gets, maybe in bold lettering, what to do when you know, with leftover medication, how to dispose of it properly, and have it in bold print, and then have some bullet points as to what the procedure should be, and the importance of making sure that the drug is inactivated. This is where the RX Destroyer product comes into place, because if you can inactivate the drug so that it's no longer usable and non-retrievable, then this goes a long way to solve the problem.
So there's more attention on our environment today, and we'll be digging down into all these separate subjects throughout the series. That RX Destroyer is really going to help us pull together some great information to share with our Pharmacy Podcast Nation. But what bothers me, Frank, is we are more sensitive to our environment today than ever before, because we understand now, based on things that took place in the industrial age, the early parts of the industrial age, how much pollution. I'm from Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh in the 1920s through the 1960s was a very dirty city, extremely dirty. It looked run down. You know, it wasn't attracting new people coming in. And in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it went through an entire rehabilitation. It's a gorgeous city now, and there's much more emphasis on pollution and the EPA and everything that's taking place. So when I think of federal organizations or state organizations, telling the public to flush things down the commode, I kind of have to take a knee jerk at that point and say, really? Like, are we really flushing stuff down the commode? And who knows where that goes and how the animals get affected and how the soil gets affected? And doesn't that go back into our, you know, our water system in some way or another? But regardless, what do you think of some of those suggestions? And I'm sure certain medications diluted by water, it might be okay, but I'm certain that there's others that it's not okay.
Well, you know, that's really not the best case scenario. Unfortunately, it goes on. The DEA came out with the final rule of several years ago regarding controlled substance waste. And in these regulations, it specifically stated that you should not flush, you shouldn't mix with kitty litter anymore. You have to come up with a proactive solution to either dispose of the waste or inactivate the waste via chemical or physical means. And when these, when this was published, there was a huge uproar from hospitals because they would have to change so many policies and procedures, and it was going to cost them so much money and the training involved. So what happened is the DEA issued a waiver on not having to do exactly what it says in the regulations, but they can continue to waste in the usual manner as long as it was acceptable with state regulations, state, local, tribal regulations. And this is what's happened. Now, a lot of hospitals, unfortunately, still do flush down the sink and into the toilet or throwing in the trash. They squirt drug onto a paper towel and throw it into the trash, or they flush it. Now, a lot of hospitals have been proactive where they're not doing that, and they're utilizing products that chemically alter the substance or render it inactive and irretrievable. And this is a good thing. But not everybody is complying with that. And that's what the problem is. Now, there recently was a law that went into effect through the EPA where they were specifically stating that they're prohibiting against sewering hazardous waste pharmaceuticals. And this actually went into effect a couple weeks ago, where you can't flush any of this anymore for hazardous waste. But unfortunately, it doesn't apply as of right now to non-hazardous waste. And that's why we still potentially have a problem. In the course of my consulting with hospitals, I recommend, or I do a survey of their policies and procedures regarding waste. And I always recommend that they consider a proactive solution to handling their waste. And this entails, in my view, use of the RX Destroyer. I did look at all the products out there, and I treated this as I would in identifying a product for adding to a formulary and looking at the attributes, the positives, the negatives, and also incorporating the cost factor. And taking all that into account, I came up with the recommendation of this specific product because it is most cost effective. In terms of efficacy and safety, it's comparable or better than the other products that are out there. And so this is what I've been recommending. And this is working out very well with the hospitals that have decided to go this route because it is solving the big problem. They're not going to run into a diversion issue because the drug is rendered irretrievable. They're complying with EPA rules. This isn't going into the environment. Now, what I do as an extra step, a proactive step, I'm recommending that these hospitals dispose of these containers in a responsible manner. They don't just throw them in the trash, but they have them hauled away by a waste management company where they're ultimately incinerated. And it just happens it just so happens that in the regulations that the DEA has, the only method that they condone is incineration. So for controlled substance waste. So this would meet that requirement by having these containers eventually incinerated.
So when I think of the complexities that each state has, because there's specific state guidelines. And then we understand the DEA has some of their own understanding, and the EPA has probably some of their own input. Regardless, especially when we're talking about the more hazardous medications, the most serious of the medications when it comes to thinking. I immediately think of fentanyl and opioids and things that can kill people from respiratory attack. But what I wonder is we could start with the pharmacist listening today to really reach out to Rx Destroyer for some guidelines. If you're listening to the show, go to rxdestroyer.com. They have an opportunity in the show notes, by the way. I'm going to have some contact information. You can reach out to the company directly. They're always open to working with independently owned community pharmacies, long-term care institutional pharmacies, health system pharmacies. They have people on staff that are ready to actually help you design a well thought out policy that has been used in other similar settings of the pharmacy that you work in. But regardless, I just think we should do something. We need to do a little bit more than what we're doing today. That's why we wanted to support this podcast series and bringing Frank on to get your expertise. Very much appreciate you kind of setting the stage for us to dig a little deeper into this. We're going to have some other coming episodes where we're going to get other thoughts and insights into this subject. If you're listening and you have ideas yourself of what you've done in your community pharmacies or your institutional pharmacies or even your hospital pharmacy, please reach out to us so that we can get you in contact with Rx Destroyer. If you don't go to rxdestroyer.com, we can definitely get you in touch with the team. But Frank, thanks so much for your insights and sharing on the podcast today. And I'd actually like to have you back.
That'd be great. Anytime. I think I can offer expertise if I am asked specific questions or scenarios of what the facility is dealing with, the type of problems that they've encountered, specific questions on how they should handle their waste, pitfalls to avoid. I can tell you so many instances of DEA issues regarding waste that I've seen in healthcare facilities, and I would be happy to do that, taking part of these podcasts in the future.
Thank you. We also want to give a shout out to the Rx Destroyer team for giving us an opportunity to build a podcast series about proper drug disposal in this modern day, not the way things were, 10, 20 years ago. And once again, if you have questions or you have concerns as a pharmacist in your community, in your institutional setting or hospital setting, please reach out to the Rx Destroyer team, rxdestroyer.com. We'll have links in the show notes, as we always do. And thank you so much, listeners, for this 10-year anniversary in 2019, 850-plus episodes. Really appreciate all the feedback that we've gotten from the team and the podcasters that are part of our network. And we just think that this is going to continue to grow. So we thank you so much for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.